Good morning, and welcome this morning to our Faith Promise service. I wanted to make just a couple comments about Faith Promise before we continue the worship service. But the Faith Promise promises, most of the funds go to support the World Evangelism Fund. And this is a great opportunity for us as a small church to participate in work that's being done throughout the world by Nazarene missionaries. One of the things I really like about the Church of the Nazarene is that they really strive to keep their administrative costs to a minimum so that the money that is contributed by the local churches gets to the purpose for which it's given, which is to spread God's word throughout the world. And the administrative expenses are really, really de minimis. They really do an excellent job of that. But it allows us as a small church, our contribution to the World Evangelism Fund is about $4,000, to participate in all that work. And it frees up the missionaries so that they don't have to worry about fundraising, right? They don't have to raise their own money and spend all their time raising money so that they can do what they're really called to do, which is a mission. So it really allows them to spend their time in the on the missionaries, which is really where they should be focusing. And as I said, allows us as a small church to have a worldwide reach. Second biggest source of the use of the funds that we collect here is for local ministries. So we will participate at the world level, but we will also be able to support and have supported in the past local ministries and the local good work that is done by food pantries and Life Essentials. So with that, I think we all look forward to hearing what Cheryl will have to say to us, and let us continue our worship service together.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back. I really appreciate it. I'm having the opportunity to share what the Lord is doing around us and amongst us. And I wanted to make sure that we started first with some scripture to just help us see that this is of God and not of man, and that when it's of God, it will not fail. So I'm going to read Revelation 3, 7 and 8. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who hold the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." And I wanted to start off with that verse because everything that I'm going to talk about today is because of open doors that the Lord has provided. And there were the things that we were watching happen made it easier for us to follow after him. Some of the doors I want to share with you. First of all, when first the Lord put an impression on us that we needed to do something out in the community. Actually, it was an impression that I had for years and years, specifically one neighborhood that he would impress upon me to go prayer walk over 10 years ago. And not knowing why, but I did, and not every day for 10 years. It's been off and on. But the impression God gives us are things he wants us to move on. And he's doing it to all of us all the time. And sometimes we're just not aware of it. But one of the first things we did, I did, is I called 7 prayer warriors. And I said, I just want you to pray. God's on the move. I don't know what exactly it all is. Would you just pray that we see? Pray that that I know what he wants. Last year, I think it was in April, I was getting ready to be part of the finance committee at South Portland Church of Nazarene, and I had been an associate pastor at Lighthouse School. And the night before that event, the Lord had me up all night. And The impression was overwhelming, that it's hard even to describe. But the impression was that I was to resign my position tomorrow morning at that Finance Committee meeting. Of course, that was a little bit scary in so many different ways, I can't explain. But it was so overwhelming that the next morning I went to that meeting and I resigned my position from South Portland Church of Nazarene. And I had nowhere to go after at the end of that. The one thing we have to understand is with Lighthouse School, you don't just quit because you have to bring in a new director. And so it was as of September 1st. And in that time, the Lord had great plans, and I knew he did. I didn't know exactly what he wanted to do. But after I resigned, and I requested if the church would support me for 1 year. Not sure what I'm going to be doing, but would you support me for 1 year? It went through three committees, and they unanimously decided to pay me for a year while we got the project going. We decided that, I decided to go ahead and try to start a 501c3. So I went to the lawyer's office, and we gave the name of Life Essentials, started a board, went to the lawyer, and the lawyer said, "Now, Cheryl, you probably won't see this back. You probably won't get your 501c3 for 3 to 5 months. So if someone does donate some money, you can always send it afterwards." And I said, okay. Our 501c3 came in 16 days. In 16 days, it showed up in my mailbox. The next thing is, our church had sponsored Ugandan families to come and have open heart surgery, little children that were having open heart surgery. I was the host home at that time. So we were busy with that, and plus trying to change over Lighthouse School. And I always felt like the Lord wanted me to be somewhere on Westbrook Street. And my understanding of Westbrook Street was over in the Red Bank area, over that way. I'm praying, and I'm saying, "Lord, I've resigned. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How are we going to do this?" 3 days later, and I said to him, "I have no place to land. I don't even know what to do next." And 3 days later, Jamie from South Portland Housing came into South Portland Church of Nazarene and was looking to see if she could have a clothes closet at a site that they have no longer used since 2012. And Pete, the head of our clothes closet over at over at South Portland, said, "You need to talk to Cheryl. She has a vision of what God wants her to do." So as Jamie was coming to talk to me, she says, "Yeah, Cheryl, I have some space that you could use to put a clothes closet in over the other side of town." And I said, "Well, you know, I really think," and God had given me some impressions of what I was supposed to be in. "Well, is there any space for me, like me put down my computer so that I have an office or something?" "Oh, yeah, we got a space for you to do that." And I said, "Oh, that's great. I was really going to have a computer room. You know, would you have any space for a computer room?" And she goes, "Yeah, we do. And we got computers. And we have free Wi-Fi." And I said, "Well, She said, "Just come over and see it." So I went over, and it's in Landry Village, Landry Circle. They had moved their offices over to the other side of town. And so she's showing me the place, and they were planning at some point, sometime down the road, to put one-bedroom apartments for the rest of the building. So they had, basically, there was, you know, the place needed painting, there were ceiling tiles that were missing, there was, you know, it wasn't used. And so so I said, "Okay." And she says, "Well, let me set up a meeting with our executive director and a couple other bosses ahead of me, and we'll get together." And I says, "Okay, that sounds good." So I went home that night, and everything that the Lord had impressed upon me is that I was going to be working with families, that I was going to be working with children. Yet I'm in a community of elderly and special needs, and I'm not really on Westbrook Street, although I found out that is Westbrook Street that I'm off of. I didn't realize Westbrook Street went so high, so that kind of solved that problem of being off Westbrook Street. But then when, so I was in prayer, and I says, "Lord, if this is of you, I'm going to ask for more space." And so So we got into the conversation, and I said, he asked me what my vision was, and I told him what the Lord had placed on my heart. And I said, but Mike, if you want to really help the community and change the community, I'm going to need more space. I need at least childcare space, and I need a counseling room. He says, have you seen all that space down there? I says, well, I was under the impression that this is as far as I could go. He says, no, we're not going to use that for a while, so you could go ahead and use it, and why don't we say it's up to this spot now? And I said, Lord, you're amazing. Because if anything I do in this introduction is to show you it wasn't me. It was God opening doors. And as the one thing that's in there is the community room that's still used off and on, although when the neighbors aren't using it, that's available to us as well. So what is even more amazing is, first of all, I'm a faith-based nonprofit, and here is a regular nonprofit. And I says, so how much is this going to cost me? And he says, well, Cheryl, you're a faith-based nonprofit. What does that mean? And I says, it means that everybody is welcome. Every person is welcome. And I says, but I can say Jesus whenever I want. That's what it means. And he says, well, that's fine. I don't need any money. Now, only God can do that. I'm sorry, guys. Only God can do that. And I says, Mike, are you sure? We're going to use electricity. He says, I don't need to worry about that right now. Maybe you'll have a year here and you'll get it off the ground and get a good start. Maybe if it takes off and it really affects the community, maybe we'll just continue it. So I said, I didn't say, Mike, you're awesome. I said, Lord, you're amazing. And so then so right now we have almost all the main floor except for three rooms that we're working on. And the other miracle, or one of the other miracles, is him providing unbelievable people and resources to get the ministry going. There's so many talented people that he has put in place, coming out of the woodworks, people I don't know, people from other nonprofits, Opportunity Alliance, so many other nonprofits that want to be a participant because this is dear to their heart as well. So a lot of times I have an opportunity to speak into the lives of people that I wouldn't otherwise have an opportunity to speak into their lives by building these relationships. One of the last events, well, actually the next to the last one of the things, and we'll show you up here, is our latest project is with Skill in School. I felt that God impressed upon me that we were going to help deal with the literacy issues of the immigrants coming in the school system. The teachers are overwhelmed. The families can't learn English fast enough. I had started a mom's group and with immigrant moms, and we'll talk about that after. And when I'm talking to them, the heart of these parents are seeing that they lose the authority of their home and the ability to manage their home because as their child learns English, they get left in the dust and the authority moves to the to the children. And then the children, because they're not managed, because they don't know what they're even trying to manage them against, the culture and such, they want to know what's happening to their children. So it placed on my heart that we need to help, and how are we going to do this? So I went and talked to the principal of Skill in School, and I said, listen, this is what the impression I have that we're supposed to do. A couple days a week, we'll have the kiddos from 3 to 5, and we'll show the program after. We'll have the kiddos those 2 days. We'll have the parents come for ELL at night, English Language Learner at night. We do the whole family. And what I needed from the school system is I don't have the names of the kids. I don't have connections with the family. I don't have the interpreters. I don't have any of those things. So as I sat there talking to her, and she was really excited about the project, she turned around and she grabbed a packet. And she came back to me and she says, we just came back from this conference and what you just explained is right here in this packet. And she says, we're on board. And they were the ones that got me the names of the kids. They set the the meetings up with the parents, with the interpreters, and set up many other things that we needed at that time. So I wanted to make sure out front that who is getting the praise and the glory for this project is the Lord, no one else. He uses us as long as we can see and respond. So one of our vision is that Life Essentials will be a Christ-centered community where individuals and families come to receive hope, guidance, and unconditional support. And our mission is to serve as a center where individuals are provided opportunity to meet their basic needs, develop natural supports, and be empowered to change the situations they are in. These forms of support, growth, and relationships will be based on the fundamentals of faith, love, and respect done through the guidance and direction of the Word of God. Well, it's funny because Life Essentials, our first event in the first year, was almost a year ago to the day. It was yesterday. And that was the first day we opened our clothes closet. And one of the things that South Portland Housing wanted to make sure it didn't look like a yard sale. You know, they wanted it to really look nice. And so, there's the scripture that we have posted in our entryway. As people come in, they see that we've already read that in one of our first readings. So that's the first thing they see as they walk in our doors. There's our clothes closet. We have other pictures out on a table out there. But our clothes closet, we're open once a month from 7:30 to 11, and then 3 to 5:30 on the third Thursday of the month. And I have actual flyers that tell you about these events. But even more so is we have started being connected with caseworkers in the school systems. So when they say, Cheryl, you know, I need such and such, do you have them there? We can package them up and send them over. We did that with snow pants. We did it with boots. We did it with a family coming in from other countries. I had one mom that had just come, and I can't remember if it was Iraq or Sudan, but they were in a refugee camp, and she had three children with her. She had to leave her 12-year-old daughter there. And they had come over, and they had nothing. So they were coming into the clothes closet, separate from when we usually do it. And as we opened the door, she just raised her hands high. And she just walked around in awe and just was just so amazed that God would provide for her. Well, we found out that day that her 2-year-old just turned 2. And one of the things we have in the clothes closet is a birthday cupboard. So we have 2 cupboards for children that their parents can't afford their gift, and the parents get to pick one of the gifts to give their child. And we found out that day that her youngest had just turned 2 that day. So I told her, come here, and open the door to the girl side. There's a girl side and a boy side. Probably it doesn't make a difference, but it helps organize things. And so she saw the toys. Again, she raised her hands praising God that this is available to her. And so she got a doll for her little girl. And just seeing their faces and seeing the caseworkers be able to solve some of the struggles and some of the problems that they're facing on a day-to-day basis. I'm just checking to see. The next thing we did was we do bread distribution every week. 2 to 4 in the afternoons on Thursdays. Thursday is our day that we try to do items that are giveaways, in a sense, so that we don't have a piece all week long. We have consistency, and when people have no vehicle or have to take a bus, it provides a way they can come and get what they need. So we provide bread once a week. Many of the people that are also volunteering. Now we find people from the community that comes over to volunteer. We have people that are from Opportunity Alliance donates or gives one of their people to help us with the literacy program that we'll show you after. And we have a couple high school students that come in and work through some of the programs as we expand more and more. That's my computer room. 3 computers. And what is amazing about this is the Lord impressed upon me is that we need a computer room that could look into a child care room. So if a mom was able to take a class, they could come and use our computers and still watch their kiddo in the next room. And so this window right here was all covered up with cork and everything else when I saw the room, when we painted and we put in the curtains. And as I peeled it off, there was my window to look into the next room. The next room is one of the three childcare rooms we have. So those three childcares, and I've actually had a couple moms come in that they had to finish off a course and they didn't have internet access. And so they sit there and they close the doors in the next room so they can watch their kiddo either watch a movie or play or whatever they need to do. This childcare room, and there's not a very good picture of it, but we have three of them. If you look on that first picture, you can see all the way down. We have a blue room, a green room, and a yellow room. The yellow room is the nursery. When I was working with moms at Lighthouse School, there were so many struggles. But the first primary struggle is that they couldn't go and get the counseling they need, or if they had needed some prescriptions, they couldn't go and see a psychiatrist. They couldn't get balanced enough to get their life working forward, partly because they always had children underfoot. So one of the thoughts that we had was that to provide childcare, almost like a parking stamp, that they get a ticket to go, they go to their doctor's appointment, whether it's once a week to go to counseling, and when they come back, they have their ticket saying they left that doctor's place at a certain time. So we don't end up just watching children. But the other part of it, and this hasn't really taken off as much as I thought it would at the beginning, but the goal is to get them consistent. You know, you have to be consistent with seeing your psychiatrist, going to your counselor. You have to get consistent because the ultimate goal is to ask the question that they haven't heard in a long time since they have three kiddos, they've had a bad marriage or no marriage or whatever, is what did you want to be when you grew up? What did you want to be? And how has that changed? And if it has changed, how do we get from point A to point B? And what are the stepping stones? We've tied in with the adult ed in South Portland, that he would come and test people to see if they could either get the ELL or go apply for college. So the idea is to empower them to move out of poverty by having, first of all, their health issues handled. And sometimes it's just a mom that needs to go see a doctor, and they always have to bring the two little ones at their feet. So the childcare room is used for many, many things. We use it also when we teach an ELL class at night. We do childcare then. We've had a cooking class where we provided childcare. We've had a budgeting class that we provide childcare at that time. So the childcare room is also offered to other nonprofits that are working with families. So that right across the hall, and I'll show you another picture, is the counseling room, where the counselor can be with the parent and the children are right across the hallway playing with the toys. So that and the goal is not to keep this to ourselves, it's to make it available to other nonprofits so that they as well can change, help change the community. In between there, trying to get people to know who I am over at Landry Village was I thought, very important. All of a sudden you see this strange lady coming in and out of this building that they've never seen before. And so a big part of it was getting to know the neighborhood. And there's 60 neighbors in that area. And so one of the first things, I spent a lot of time with another person going to visit every person there and saying, this is who I am. I did a little bit of evaluation. What are the things you'd like to see over at Landry Village? Would you like to volunteer? You know, what are your giftings? You know, we need people that rock babies. You know, do you want to come over and rock a baby? Do you want to fold some clothes? Is there something you would like to do? Would you like to come over and talk? Maybe come over and have a cup of coffee. So we were trying to do some different events since we were right around Thanksgiving and Christmas. And before this, we actually had Thanksgiving meals at South Portland Church of Nazarene. And we sent a flyer around to the community to see if anybody needed a free Thanksgiving meal that we delivered. So last year, we delivered Thanksgiving meals before we went and we brought Christmas caroling out there. We had 80 people come to Christmas carol that area. We divided them into three groups. We just said, anybody that wants to sing, come on out, bring your kids, whatever. And so we did Christmas caroling around that area a few weeks before Christmas. And the other thing is I've teamed up with South Portland Housing and doing some like sing-alongs and just some little luncheons and just being part of their community. Also, not only at Landry Village, but also at St. Cyr and at, my mind goes blank, another facility there, that just having some time to share the love of God in the midst of things. Let's see. One of our big events every year for years, I've been doing gingerbread houses. Gingerbread houses was an event that I did originally with my youth group, but as I did Lighthouse School and have been at South Portland Church in the Nazarene, it's grown and grown. And I always used it as a ministry event where anybody that wants to help make gingerbread, come on in. And we did it on a Wednesday night so that the kiddos had a place in Caravan while the parents were with us. And it was a great way to get to know moms when you're rolling out dough and doing all kinds of stuff and just having a good time. Last year, we made 275 houses, which that means that was 1,675 pieces of gingerbread that we put together. We did gingerbread houses in three locations, which took a lot of volunteers, a lot of movement, because we did one at Landry Village. We asked the Methodist Church at the corner if they would bring their preschool down, and then we invited the Landry Village community if they would like to come and do a gingerbread house with the kiddos. So we did it there. Then we did it at Red Bank Community Gym, and we had cars full of gingerbread houses, praying they didn't break all the way down, and set it all up. And what we did last year is we actually brought our clothes closet at the same time. So half the gym, people were doing the gingerbread houses, and the other half, the moms or anybody could go into the clothing closet to get what they needed. We had, I believe she said, we impacted 80 families over at Red Bank during that event. And matter of fact, if I remember right, there was a mom that went to this event, and she had coupons for frosting. And what I found out is we were going to do the South Portland event, and she came over with something like 15 tubs of frosting to share, to be part of. So we did a drop-in shop at South Portland, which meant you drop your child and you go shop. So that's what we had been doing. We're not doing it this year, but we did it last year. And we had 123 kids for 4 hours. Yes. Thank goodness it comes once a year. But it's grown to be such an event where we have an opportunity to love people. And that's the goal is to love people, to build relationships, to have them hopefully see Christ in us. Hopefully see that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter that God loves every single one of his children. I'm going off my sheet now, I'm in trouble. One of the things also with the moms that I worked with for quite a long time, I did a lot of groups with moms, I did one-on-one counseling. I just had a heart for the poverty of it. I've come from poverty, so when you know it, you understand it, and your heart breaks for it. And so one of the things is the moms are always saying, there's no guys in my kids' lives. You know, my children, you know, it's me and my kids. Or that maybe sometimes it's on and off again someone. But no one to really show the love of God in a manly way. So I solicited the men of our church and the men that I knew were godly men outside our church. And I asked if they would come and do a Pinewood Derby. So this is pretty miraculous in so many ways because Dunkin' Donuts provided all the coffee and muffins and everything we needed. We had 2 days of building and one event on a Saturday that we did the actual Derby. Now, everybody forgive me, but we did put the track in the middle of our sanctuary, okay? And the Lord was very present, so it was good. But what was really cool is that Dunkin' Donuts partnered with us, the church. McDonald's partnered with us. Napper partnered with us with hats for the kiddos. And Lowe's, I want to tell you, I had worked to try to find where I can get a track Now, where can I get a track? So I had asked around, and Lowe's had this one, an 18-foot, I believe it was, that we could use at a certain date. I made arrangements that week. I took some pictures of it, and I thought, okay, that would be good. We'll use that as, and it was six lanes, but it was 18 feet. We'll use that as the actual track. And then I needed a smaller one so we could keep some of the other kids busy while we had the races of the different ages. So I asked a Methodist church if, it wasn't the Methodist church, it was the Boy Scouts. So 2 weeks out, less than 2 weeks out, I go to make sure that the track is all set, how should I pick it up. I go and I hear they had thrown it away. And I said, what? They said, we threw it away. It had a lot of splinters. It just wasn't good anymore. We just threw it away. And I said, well, I had made arrangements to use that. I said, oh, Lord, what are we going to do? So I said, well, I got the backup. I got the backup one at the guy from that has it at the Methodist church. Well, he had gone on vacation, not telling anybody that we had the right to use it, and he had the key. So I'm thinking, Lord, we're in a little bit of a trouble here. What are we going to do? So I went back on to talk to Lowe's, and so I was supposed to get a 6-foot track, 18-foot track, five lanes. And I said, I just don't know what we're going to do. We got so many plans made and everything. And they called me back and they said, Cheryl, we're going to build you a track. And I said, you what? And they said, I thought they'd find me a track. I didn't think they'd build me a track. And they said, we're going to build you a track. And I says, that's amazing. You can get it built in that fast. Yeah, we have a person that's going to build it, and it's going to be six lanes, and it's going to be 45 feet long. That's the track that they built. Each time coming back, Cheryl, I don't know if we're going to get it painted. You know what? If you don't get it painted, you don't get it painted. It's okay. And then when we tried to put it up, it didn't sit just right. And I says, gosh, I think we're doing something wrong. They sent two people over to make it, put it accurately and make it work. Another miracle of God. That doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. So we had, and I think I have a picture out there, but I wrote down that for the Derby, we had something like 12 in the picture, but we actually had right around 20 male volunteers to work with the kids for two nights and Saturday. And then we had 38 children, many of them boys, which fulfilled that desire for the parents to have a male impact over a certain amount of time. So that was one of the events we did. The counseling room, that's right across from the childcare room. We use this. We just started grief ministry. So we have people that come in that have been dealing with a loss. And I have one of the ladies at the church is teaching that. It also is when we have some counseling needs. It's a nice room to sit in. It's quiet. It's pretty cool. You can't see the whole thing there, but there's a couch, and then there's a table and a lamp with a shade. And the funny thing is three people donated for that room, and they all match, which was pretty cool. You know, I get excited about these little things because these are big things in my life. They are. So then what we did is we started a food pantry, and we do food pantry once a month. We have a lot of the product comes from the South Portland Church, or even people in Landry Village, anybody that has heard about it that will just drop off a bag. I've also had moms that used to come to Lighthouse School who at their company said, listen, we want to take Life Essentials for the month. We're going to try to collect food. We're going to collect different things for Life Essentials. And, that's awesome. I wish I could do one company a month for 12 months. It would really be a great benefit. And so a lot of the food comes from many different people. And so at Landry Village, they still do bingo there. And actually, they just ended. But one of the little ladies that goes to bingo comes into my office and says, Cheryl, I would like to give you some of my winnings for the food cupboard. And she counted out her $14, and she says, I want you to put this for the food cupboard. I says, you have blessed me. That is unbelievable. Thank you for your gift. But just people now feeling part of the project, feeling part of making a difference for someone else in their life, even though they have very little themselves. The majority of the food does come from those kind of places, as well as the church. If I put a plea out, listen, I'm short on this, this, and this. The other thing about the food cupboard is no one has to show finances. It's not a food cupboard that, because really, who I'd like to minister to is not necessarily the ones that can go to the other food cupboard, but it's the in-between people. It's the people that barely are making it. They're the working poor, the ones that, you know, father's working two jobs, mom's work one job, and, you know, they pay $1,400 without utilities to live in South Portland. Those are the people I want to come here to receive. Community gardens, we did a garden all summer. Had a gentleman named Shane that led the way, and we started at the very beginning of June, and we were still collecting, harvesting the end of October. So we had green tomatoes still, and we were trying to ripen them up so we could give them away. And it was it was an opportunity. We really wanted this garden to be more of a community involvement, but we were also still not known very well. So trying to get people, if you notice, we tried to put it on a walkway so that people with wheelchairs could participate. And it was high enough up, we had it raised inside so that everybody could reach things. So we were trying to make it so that there wouldn't be any reason anybody couldn't participate. We had one lady that couldn't stand too long, so we brought a chair out and let her be part of it. And we have the conversations. This is my mom, one of the first moms groups we had. One of those moms, when I was talking to her, she says, well, we have kids always underfoot and this and that. And I says, well, okay, so say we do a mom's group. What is our ultimate goal? Our ultimate goal is to educate. Our ultimate goal is to help. So what we'll do is we will let you and the girls, or any girls you bring in, or any families you bring in, talk about what topics you want to talk about. And then we'll bring in someone that can speak on that topic. In the meantime, my educational director in Lighthouse School donates her to me once a month, and we do an educational program with the kiddos while the parents are in the back being educated by a project. We've talked about, we had a nurse practitioner come in and talk about women's health. Just the other day, we had a counselor that came in and talked about fears. And we have two other topics on the table right now, and one is how to integrate into your community and nutrition. Those are the four that they're looking at. So we do this once a month. The first time we had five moms from five different countries, including the United States. And the second time we did it, we had nine moms with 15 kids. And so out of that was when I heard the mom say, we don't know what's happening to our children. And they're distraught. They don't, you know, if you really think about it, what they go through, not knowing the culture, what to be afraid of for their children. I mean, think about it. If they come from a war-torn country, they're happy there's no bombs. There's no one shooting. So they don't realize there's other dangers. Just a while ago, we just heard of a young man that died in a kayaking event trip. They were just going out in a kayak. The mom doesn't even know what a kayak is. She has no idea that they need a life protector. The kid probably didn't even know. They probably were just goofing off, and she lost her son. How can we help them love their children, protect their children? And so the only way is by helping them understand their community. So we do this once a month. It's for basically an hour, but it ends up being about an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes. We're a diaper bank now. We just became a diaper bank. So we get diapers at a very reduced rate. And how we're working this one is not just having it out there. We call daycares and ask the directors, listen, is there a family in need? We know who are in need. As directors, we know who needs the help. So the idea is that we provide information to a hierarchy so we can get the product to those that really need it. So we just started this. I think it's September was my first time I got them got them going. This is one of our latest projects, which is LEAP, Life Essentials Academic Program. And this is the program that that I had talked to the principal about. And so how this works is that we have 15 kiddos from Skill and School that they're reading, they're not up to reading par. Many of the kids are barely at a first grade level, and some are as high as fifth grade going into junior high next year. And they're only reading and writing at a first grade level. Now, you know what happens to kids when they can't keep up, when they feel hopeless, right? So we decided to do a program Mondays and Wednesdays, 3 to 5. The church has allowed me to keep the bus. I'm a bus driver. So myself and several other volunteers goes to the school. We wait for them to come out of the school. We do an activity outside for them to get wiggles out before we make them sit down any longer. And then we get on the bus. We get to Life Essentials. We give them a snack. And then they go into three rooms as a rotation. And the first room is the computer room. Someone donated 5 computers. We are using a similar program that's at Skill and School that has a queue that each child has their own queue in books that are applicable to them. And they open it up, and the computer will read to them. And then they read the story themselves. And then there's a questionnaire that they have to fulfill. Well, we did have a little bit of a snafu last week that I got to work out on the computers. So we had to make my volunteers the computers because the computers weren't working right. So I had 4 volunteers that became computers. So they were the ones that read the story. The story got read to them. And then they had a list of questions that they could ask the kiddos, which worked so much better because they could encourage the whole way. And they also worked on writing skills too. So maybe the computers failing might have been ordained rather than just the computers failing. But the kids are really gaining some ground on it. Even those little pouches, I was talking to a principal of a Freeport school, I believe, asking her about perspective of the school system and if they're going to let this happen. And she told me what they'd be concerned with. And then she sent all the supplies for each of these kids to have. In addition, I have extra supplies besides what these kids have already. So she gave me all the erasers, rulers, pencils, pens, crayons, pencil sharpeners, everything. The next room, they're 25-minute sessions. Next room, they're in a reading room. And in this reading room, it's a comfort room that we have beanbag chairs and clipboards that the kids are learning to write and hear a story, write a response, or if they're too little, they'll color to tell the story. So they see, they get understanding, they get sight words in here. And even one of the other day, each of the children had a couple words, and when the story got to their word, they raised their word, and all the kids would have to write down their words. So it really was working great. That's Kevin over there. Kevin's a pretty neat kid. His parents, his dad comes to the adult ELL at night. This is the homework room. And one of the great things is God has just been so amazing because the people in the homework room that sit at a table are our retired school teachers. The people that wouldn't be able to get down in the middle room that's in on the beanbag chairs. So we have a couple ladies that have been teachers in the past that come in and they help the kids with their homework. And if they finish their homework, they are allowed to get, hopefully, the literacy games that we have there. But the idea is we want this to be fun, too. We want them to be enjoying things. And so what's even funnier is for the computer room are our high school students and our younger moms that teach technology, basically. So it really worked out, and the Lord gave me 2 preschool ladies that are teaching the primary reading in the reading school, in the reading program. I have just another couple added items that I didn't have any pictures for, and is the ELL program, Monday nights. We finish with the kiddos at 5, we drop them off, I drive the kids back to their homes. And the place where the Lord had put on my heart all these years, where I had prayer walked before, 9 out of 10 families live in that area, where we had prayer walked. And so by 6 o'clock, we're teaching ELL for the adults. So the adults can come in. We have childcare so that if they have any children. Oh, it's English Language Learner. It used to be ESL. They don't use that word anymore. They use ELL. And so the parents have an opportunity to learn the English language and gain ground there. Eventually, what I hope to do is to train some teachers for ELL for adults and have classes at night, but also have the computer room open for them to practice on the computers so that they can do it on their own time as well to get more repetition. So that program has been going. By the way, the literacy program is for an 8-week session. We have two reasons for that is because we've got Christmas in the middle and all the other activities, it would cause problems. But also it's easier to ask volunteers to help for 8 weeks rather than do this for a year. So we do 8 weeks. We're going to do 8 weeks in the fall. It's a pilot program. We'll massage it. We're going to do it again 8 weeks, 8 to 10 weeks in the spring. And the last group we just started was two-time cancer survivor support group, as we just started. The Lord was putting before me many people that were struggling with having a second time cancer. So we decided to put together a group, and we have a small kitchen there, and it's kind of like a coffee clutch, and talk about the struggles of dealing with that. Even though they're surviving, their struggles is the stuff that happens even after that. So that is our year that we've been at Life Essentials. I called South Portland Housing, and I said, you know, do we have it another, you know, can I continue, or will you need the property, whatever, you know? I said, because I'm starting a literacy group, and I don't want to do the work too far ahead if we're not going to be there. He has committed to me until the end of the school year that I can be there. And also, I was supposed to lose my salary as of September 30th. The church had paid me until September 30th. And it was funny because there's two things that happen all the time. My board saying, what are we going to do, Cheryl, when you're not getting paid? What are we going to do when you're not, you know? And I said, just don't worry about it, you know? Worst thing is I get a job, you know, don't worry about it. And what had happened is Dylan, our children's pastor, left on September 30th, and the church moved his salary into my line item. So I'm going to be paid through this fiscal year. And the other part of it was that, what was the other one on that? I'll think of it. But the other issues that, I always tell them, they'll say, well, what are we going to do next all through this, you know, these stepping stones that were happening? What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And I just said, I don't know. We look for the doors. We look for the doors, and we do what the doors open, we go that way. If it opens over here, we go that way. And it's been so exciting because it's not our doors. It's so exciting because God knows which door he wants to open. And I think he's opening doors all over the world, and we just don't see him. We don't look for that. Instead, many times we look, what is the best program to do? You know, it really is about God leading the way. I know that Henry Blackaby, author of Experiencing God, says, see where God is moving and join him there. Join him there. It's not about what we can fabricate. It's about what he's already wants to do around us. And if you can do anything for Life Essentials, it is to pray that we continue to have eyes to see and ears to hear, that we don't get ahead of what God wants to do, and that whatever he has us to do, that we will be brave enough to step out and do it. Thank you.